Welcome back to the Alan JB podcast. I'm your host, Alan JB, and I am so excited to be back with you guys again this week with another new episode of the Alan JB podcast. Honestly, it's been a crazy week. I'm super tired. I'm running on caffeine. I was writing a paper last night. It was like up till 5 in the morning. I know, not smart, but you know what? We thriving. Like, God's so good. Anywho, I'm super excited because this week we have a whole bunch of amazing guests coming on. But today, I am so excited to have a really amazing guest on. And he's from Indonesia. And I'll let him share a little bit about his testimony and what brought him here to Portland Bible College. But my guest, Hummel.
What's up? What's up, my boy, Alan?
How's it going?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me here.
I'm so excited to have you on the Alan JB podcast. And, you know, I'm just excited to hear your testimony. Yeah. Because, obviously, me and, like, a lot of people listening, we might not, like, know that much about you. I know a little bit about you, but, like, I don't think I've ever heard, like, your testimony or, what brought you to PBC.
Yeah.
If you could, like, go into that or, like, elaborate, like, your testimony a little bit.
Okay, yeah. Well, straight into it. I'll keep it simple. Well, I'm from Indonesia. I'm from the capital, Jakarta. And if I were to say what's my testimony or what's my background, I grew up in a household of pastors. So my whole family is a ministers. I'm also a minister. I'm serving as a youth pastor in my local church. But I'm on a sabbatical break right now. And yeah, man, I grew up in church, so all of this stuff is not unfamiliar for me. But, you know, it doesn't guarantee you having a personal relationship with Jesus. So just growing up, I kind of see it like as a pressure, because the last thing I wanted to be when I grew up is to serve God. Like, that wasn't in my list. I grew up wanting to be a soccer player. Like, that was my goal.
Dang, that's crazy. No way.
Yeah, yeah. But then, well, I guess when you're called. So, yeah, I thought if I grew up to be a minister or just, like, serving, it's just going to look like it's a family pressure. It's just going to look what's the word? Nepotism. Like, because my family's on it, then I guess I got to be on it too. But, hey, I guess I had the wrong mindset at first. But yeah, God called me to serve for the youth, and my heart is for the youth back home. And man, I can't lie, I'm loving it. It's been very great.
Dude, I'm so excited to hear that. So do you serve in the youth here at, like, Manor House?
Nope.
Or
no. So my practicum is in Pastoral Downtown. Well, I was supposed to serve in youth when I came here first, but then I thought, okay, I've been serving youth, I wanted to try something new. So I asked Joy, hey, Joy, can you maybe change my practicum placement? And yeah, I got pastoral. So yeah.
And how do you, because I'm also in pastoral at Mill Plain, and so, but I guess my question is, like, how do you like being in pastoral? Because, like, I don't know, like, literally, obviously last semester, the pastoral team that I'm on, like, they were kind of, you know, like, more tense, but this time, this semester, they've kind of, like, loosened up a lot, and so, which I really enjoy, but, like, also there's still, like, a lot of, like, responsibility and stuff like that comes with, like, being part of pastoral. So, like, how has your experience kind of been?
Well, so far it's actually been really good. Well, at first I thought when I heard pastoral, I thought it was gonna involve a lot more pastoring, a lot of more, like, I don't know, just pastoral stuff. But then, well, actually it's fun. I mean, I think pastoral is the anchor of one of the most, I mean, every section is important, but I think just doing pastoral, it reminds me that, like, doing setup, like stacking chairs, unstacking chairs, just helping set up the service, it's, sometimes we forgot that even just the basic stuff, it is one of the most essential stuff in making a church run well. And I think just being in pastoral, actually, this last 2 months, it helped me giving a new perspective. Like, my perspective has been shifted. Like, there is a new things that I learned, and yeah, I got a very great Practicum Leader, Pastor Esteem Trent, and Pastor Lisa Trent.
Dude, the Trents are amazing. Bro, Trents shout out amazing. To the Trents.
Exactly. Shout out to the Trents. If they're listening to this, shout out to the Trents. But yeah, it's to be honest, it's been very great, Alan. Like, I can only say good things about Pastoral.
And so I guess, like, and I don't know how it is for downtown, but like, the Mill Plain campus is like much in pastoral serving for like practicum is much more chill. Compared to like youth ministry where it's super fast paced. Mm. So how has it been like the adjustment been for you? Like it coming from like being in youth where it's like fast paced, like, you know, it's go serving every week.
Yeah.
You know, how's that been just for you? And like, do you have a moment to just be like, just take a breath?
Indeed. Exactly. Actually, it's, well, I think being in pastoral, the only downside is for me, I got to wake up very early sometimes. But like the work I do, the work we do as pastoral in downtown, it's very chill. I mean, it's a lot of the stuff we do is behind the scenes, right? I mean, we, you know, you're in pastoral, you're in Mill Plain. I mean, like from doing youth and switching to pastoral, it's sort of like a whole different world. But it's been very great. I think it's just like a reminder for me just to be able to serve in any area, like because we're so used to like doing one area our whole life that when we try to serve in another area, we're like, okay, what is this? But then it took some time for me to like to adapt. But hey, it's really good.
And I guess another question that I really want to ask is like, so you obviously you elaborated that you grew up in Indonesia, like you grew up in Jakarta.
Yeah.
So like, what brought you to Portland Bible College?
Wow. Well, you want the long version or the short version?
We got time, bro.
I'll make it simple. You know, it's always hard for me when every time people ask this question coming to PBC, because all I can say is that the fact that I am here is only because of His goodness. So, long story short, I'm just saying. So I was also studying before this. I was studying in Australia in Hillsong College. I was there for a year and a half, and then COVID hits. Then I have to go back to Indonesia, Jakarta, because at that time, all international students have to go back to their home. So I went back home. I have to do online. Then I kind of just like straight away. I wasn't doing good. I kind of lost my focus because I was back home, which leads to me being back in my comfort zone, me coming back to my old circles, my old friendship that I would say doesn't lift me up, doesn't build like my characters. And so, yeah, I think I got caught up in the moment, and I kind of stopped my studies.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, and then I just got convicted by the Lord. Is that I was living a double life, bro. Like, I was doing ministry at the same time, but also I wasn't doing, behind the scenes, I wasn't doing well. I was just crushed mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I was just not in a good place. And, yeah, then, so a lot of my friends, not a lot actually, but some of my friends from Indo went to PBC, like a lot of the alumni. Probably, if you're hearing this, probably you will know, like, Karen Saruna. She's also Indonesian.
We love Karen.
Yeah, you know Karen,
Karen's
right?
Karen's great.
Yeah. So her mom...
Phil Philemon. I talk about it on the podcast with Josh and Keisha, but Philemon was actually my roommate my freshman year here at PBC. And so, yeah, like, he was my roommate for, like, a whole semester.
Wow.
And then we were supposed to be roommates again, but obviously, like, COVID happened. I guess we were in the middle of COVID, and, like, a lot of sophomores, like, freshmen and sophomores end up getting their own room, so we end up getting split up. But Phil was actually my roommate like my freshman year here at PBC, so I don't know if you know Phil or not, but he's super dope.
Yeah,
so
wow. Shout out to Phil and Philemon.
What a guy.
Karen. Yeah, so it was I knew she was in PBC, but it just being here, bro, it never crossed my mind that okay, I will be in PBC one day. Like, even I didn't even know where PBC was. All I know, it was a Bible college in Portland, but I don't know how it looks like. I never looked it up. I never, like, searched it up. But then last year, between November or, like, end of the year, I had a convo with my mom. I had a talk with my mom, and she said, "Hey, why don't you go to BBC and continue your studies?" And I said to my mom, "Mom, I think I have to go back to Australia. I felt like I have unfinished business, like in Hillsong, because I want to continue my study there." But then she said, "Okay, just pray on it. If God wants you to go back, then you will go back." But I think if you look up BBC, I just pray that I think he will have, you will feel that this place right here, BBC, will suit you. Like, but yeah, and then okay, I pray on it. Well, I never really actually pray on it like every day. It was just okay. Even when I applied, like to be here, even when I did my application, I wasn't doing it seriously. Like I was just thought, okay, I won't get in here. Like even doing the TOEFL test. So TOEFL test, Alan, is the test that all internationals have to do before coming here. It's like our English skill level test. Like I did that like a month before the deadline. So everything was super rushed. Everything was very spontaneous. But then again, well, if I believe if God wants to bring you somewhere, even everything is spontaneous, he will make it work. He will make it work. So yeah, a long story short, I'm here.
Was there, I guess my other question is, was that, like, obviously, because you explained that you had never heard of, like, Portland Bible College before. Like, you knew that it was in Portland, but you'd never seen it. So, like, when you actually got here, was it like, whoa, this, like, place is, like, smaller than I expected? Or was it, like, how was it, what was the experience, like, getting, walking on the campus?
It was, it was a very, I won't forget the moment I got here the first time. So, It was before move-in day. So I came ahead before move-in day. So just I could have the bottom bunk bed.
Everyone does that, bro.
So I could put my stuff first.
Everyone wants the bottom bunk.
So I did that. And yeah, my first impression, whoa, okay. This is a unique place. Like you said, much smaller than I thought. Then, okay, I went to the dorms. Jason was the first person I met here. Then when I went to the dorm, Tito also, he was the first person I met in dorm. I remember it was that day, there was Paul Harris and Tito.
We love Paul.
Yeah, we love Paul. We love Tito especially. Yeah, those two guys were the first two person to welcome me to dorms. And yeah, it was definitely it was a surreal experience just being here and seeing this place in person, because every time I looked up in YouTube, I just want to see how the building is. Like, I just want to see if there's like a campus tour or like a dorm tour. I could never find it. I could never find it on YouTube. So coming here, it was like a blind reaction, to be honest. but yeah, it was if only you could see my reaction when I came here. But hey, long story short again, 2 months went by, 3 months now, almost 3 months.
But I mean, hey, you're here now. Hey, you're thriving.
This is my home now, Alan.
So yeah, I mean, and we're obviously super excited to have you. But yeah, so I guess the main topics like that I want to get into today is like kind of salvation.
Yeah.
And just on the theme of the episode, like for salvation is like what it looks like as believers, like how we can practically like walk out our salvation as Christians. And so and I appreciate you sharing your little bit of your testimony, because obviously like salvation like goes into that, and you know, and so but I most importantly want to talk to you about like what salvation like looks like to you.
Okay, that's a very good question. I think when it comes to this topic, like everyone will have a different answer. Like we all have our own particular answer. You will have your own unique answer, and I will have my own answer. But I think if I could say, salvation for me looks like, because from what I see is that, this from my POV, okay? From my POV. Okay, I grew up in a pastor's family. I grew up in a very loving household, a Christ-loving family. And I thought, okay, that's it. That's enough for me. Okay, I have my salvation. I am saved. I'm a believer. And I don't have to do nothing. I mean, growing up, it's like, okay, I'm set. Like, it's like a guaranteed ticket for me to go to heaven, because I thought, okay, my family gave their life to Christ. Like, my family has been serving Christ for decades. My granddad has been serving Christ for 40 years. So I thought, growing up, okay, I don't think I have a part to do. But again, now that I grew spiritually more in Christ, I became more mature in Christ. I mean, I'm still learning. We're also learning. But I think for me, salvation is... it's not downplaying the sacrifice of Christ.
Yeah.
It's to never downplay the cross. I think for me that... if one thing I could underline is that do not ever downplay the importance of Christ's sacrifice. Because once we downplay it, we're going to forget our parts. Like, we are here for a reason. We all have our own specific God-given calling. We all have our own specific purpose from God. And it may be different from each other, but whatever it is, do not ever forget that. We have a part to play. That God has saved us. We received the gift of salvation. Now what do we do? Our part now is to advance the kingdom of God. Yeah, I think that...
yeah, and that's the crazy thing is, like, you know, and you're totally right. I think salvation, like, does look different for everyone. But I think the crazy thing is, and I was just thinking about this the other day, like, you know, just the aspect of, like, what does it mean to, like, be saved and to, like, walk with Jesus? Because, like, obviously a lot of people could, like, you know, accept salvation in their minds, but, like, not in their heart.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
And so... yeah, just I was just thinking about that the other day of, like, what that truly means to, like, be saved. And obviously for you, you were explaining that, like, you grew up in the church and, you know, like, you come from, like, a very loving, like, pastor's family. And so obviously, like, you know, salvation, I want to make a guess. I could be wrong and you can correct me on this. But, like, salvation, especially for people who, like, grew up as, like, pastor's kids, like, it's very much ingrained into them. You know, from a very young age, what salvation looks like. And so, I don't know, can you, like, relate to that?
Yeah. I think, well, I wouldn't say I always had a clear picture of what salvation looks like. It's, for me, it's always, like, a topic where I have to grow in every time of my life. That I will, like, every day it got to be, there's something new that I need to learn about salvation. But, like, having this walk with Christ. But all I can say that salvation for me, like, me personally, is receiving the gift of salvation again, receiving the gift of salvation, and then the most important thing is, what do we do after we're saved? Like you said, that is such a good statement. Everyone could be saved in their mind, but in their heart, they're still tied to other stuff. Like, for me, I think being truly saved is being able to let go what God hates. Because I think if we're still holding on to stuff that we know that is not pleasing to His eyes, I don't think we're truly saved. Because I know what God hates, what God is against, we should be against that too. If we still hold on to what God hates, I don't think we're truly saved.
Yeah. And I guess another question I have is, like, and this is, like, kind of pondered on me a lot, like, in this last season. Do you think that we could still be Christian and, like, not be saved?
Wow. You're going to go there, huh?
We hit with the deep questions on the Alan JB podcast. Wow. We bring the rain.
Oh, you bring the fuego. Wow. I think that is a question where it'll just never end. Like, there's just going to be new answers every time. But
yeah.
I don't know, man. It's, for me, I think you could say you're a Christian.
Yeah.
Okay, so what does being a Christian mean? Like, I think, okay, if you're a Christian, that means you believe in Christ. That's what that's what everyone knows. If you're a Christian, okay, if you say you're a Christian to someone else, oh, then you believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah. But again, being a Christian sometimes, it could be just a label for people. Like, it could just be a label for them, but they
Which is crazy because my pastor from back home, shout out to Victory Faith, I miss them a lot. But anyways, my pastor from back home was explaining that, like, the word Christian is only mentioned a couple times in the Bible, and it's very much like a derogatory term. But he was explaining that the word disciple is mentioned like over 200 times. Yeah. Like, it, I think he said like 253 times or something like that. I could be wrong. But yeah, but he said, he was explaining that like the word Christian is like only mentioned a couple times. That, like, the word disciple is mentioned like well over 200 times.
Yeah, well.
Which is this crazy to like think about, you know? And so, yeah, but I just, I, and the reason why I asked that question is because, you know, a lot of times, like, people could be like, oh, you know, like, you could be like, oh, do you know Jesus? And they're like, yeah, I'm a Christian. But, like, they're not fully walking out, like, their calling and their relationship with God, you know? And they're still kind of, like, living in sin. And, you know, like, they're kind of, like, living a double life in a sense.
Yeah. I think because I've been there, I think I lived that life where I say to people that I love Christ, that I proclaim Christ. My job was, or what I do every week, is get up to an altar, get up to a pulpit, and preach the word. But when I get off that stage, my life is a total contrast with what I said. And I think at that time, this is actually very reaching. I think this question convicts me. I think at that time, I would say the way I live, the way I act, the way I talk, I could say I wasn't saved.
Wow.
Just by the way I was living. Because how could you say you are saved? How could you say you truly believe in Christ, you love Christ, but you still walks in the life of flesh? How could you say, okay, Christ, I gave my life to you, I'm devoting my life to you, but then after you say that, the next day, you're still falling back into your worldly sins? So this will always be a question where I think it will just like triggers a lot of like argumentation. But for me personally, I think if I could say it from the bottom of my heart, is being a Christian is actually, like you said, being a disciple. And what does being a disciple means? Being a disciple means you are copying your master, or you are copying who's discipling you. And Jesus is our disciple. And if we are to walk with Christ, and that is, we can connect that dot to salvation, to where there must be a sacrifice that we have to make. And it may be uneasy, it may be very, very hard for us to make, but again, that is the price we have to pay. So I think also paying that price is sometimes the thing that we try to avoid, but also, so we expect to have a intimate relationship with Christ,
yeah,
but also at the same time we avoid paying the price. Like, we want the express way, like, if I could say it like that,
yeah,
we want the easy way. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And so also another kind of question I want to like ask, and I'm sure like the audience would like love to know, is like, where, and I don't know, like, this question just like baffles me. Like, when I was like thinking of an outline for the podcast today, this like question kind of baffles me, of like, where do you think the cross fits into like all this, into salvation?
I think it fits into everything. It's the only thing that matters. I think it fits right in the center of all of this conversation. Without the cross, there's no salvation. I think that should be the only thing we're focused to. That should be the only thing our eyes are fixated into. Without the cross, I don't even think it's all worth it. So.
And also another question, do you think that we can get, so sometimes, and I guess I've noticed, do you think that sometimes we can get so fixated like on the cross that like we forget about like the community around us?
That's also a good question. So see, there must be a good balance. I think what Jesus wants is, yes, we are very fixed into the cross, but that also means when we have our eyes onto the cross, that means we at the same time, we also love our peers. I guess if you only, okay, wow, this is actually a good question. I'm fixing up my sentence. If you're fixed onto the cross, yes, the cross is our goal. The cross is what we focus on to every day. That means our community, the people we hang out with every day, the people we spend time with every day in dorms, in church, wherever it is, in small groups. That means we also have to steward them, or we have, there must be a heart for that people. Because if you only have our heart for ourselves, but not for our friends or our families or just the people we hang out with every day, does that actually means, are we being a true follower of Christ? Like, I think I see it like that.
And also, another question, we ask a lot of questions here on the NNGB podcast. So obviously you were explaining, like, in your testimony, just to delve a little bit deeper into it. You were explaining that you were at, like, Hillsong. Obviously there's, like, a lot of controversy and stuff, like, with Hillsong. Did you ever face, like, the backlash of, like, a lot of the, like, stuff that was, like, happening with Hillsong, like, while you were there?
Well, so it happened when I was back home. But, I mean, well, it happened. I was still technically in Hillsong, enrolled in Hillsong. So even though I wasn't in Sydney anymore, in Australia anymore, to like to see how was it back there when all this stuff was happening. But yeah, I think it actually also affects me. At first, it affects the way I see Hillsong too, the way I see the whole organization. And yeah, people were just asking, hey, bro, is this rumor true? Is what's happening true? And you know, at the same time, you want to say it's not, but again, you know the facts.
Yeah.
When you know the facts, yeah. I'm not going to lie. But so it was a very tough decision. I still see Hillsong as a very, they changed my life. Like, being there is a very important phase of my life. Like, I made so many good friends there. I met so many amazing people there. I think I learned a lot of experience there. But yeah, at that time, it was just very tough for me to just answer the questions. I think that was the thing for me. Just answering the questions,
yeah.
It was just tough. Like, okay, I don't want to answer this again. Yeah. Like,
yeah, it was almost like one of those things of, like, you know, in envisioning being in that situation, you're like, man, I don't want to like talk about this. You know, like, I don't want to bring this up. Like, why? You know, like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
I just like want to forget about it. Like, let's just like let it lie.
Yeah.
So like, yeah. So I. Yeah, it was just, like, something, because obviously you're, like, the first person, like, that I've had on the pod that I've, like, kind of interviewed that has, like, come, that was, like, in Hillsong, like, during all that happening. And so, yeah, it was just, like, something that I, like, wanted to ask about and just, like, what that was like, you know, because obviously, I don't know, for me, if I were in that situation, I would be like, man, you know, like, that's really hard. Like, I couldn't imagine, you know, because obviously, I'm sure, like, because how long were you there for, like, at Hillsong?
I'd say a year and a half.
So, yeah, I mean, I envision, like, in a year and a half, you build so many, like, solid, like, relationships,
oh, yeah,
and, like, and friendships and stuff like that while you're there, that, like, when that stuff comes out, and, like, when that happens, you're like, dang, bro, you know, like, that's really hard. And, like, did you ever have to, like, sit with it for a minute? Like, was it ever something that you're like, man, I just have to sit with this?
Well, again, because I think, so the people bashing Hillsong, they only see it from the outside. Okay, the facts, it's all true, possibly. But you don't know how the people are in Hillsong itself. Like, because I've been there, I've seen how they run the church, I've seen how just, like, they built the community. And even though, yes, some stuff do disappoints me, like, just seeing how it all happens, just how it all unfolds, it's just very unfortunate, Alan. But again, I have nothing bad to say about Hillsong. Like, again, I think I never had a moment where I think I question being there. I never regret going to Hillsong. Like, I will proudly say I think I always say to everyone when they ask, where are you or what's your story? I always say I was from Hillsdale. I mean, I was there for, even though I was only there for a year and a half, I was very honored to be there. Just like the connection I built, just like the lifelong friends that I built, just like even the community, they are very uplifting. I grew so much in Christ there. So yeah, even though it sucks to be in that position,
yeah,
that, you know, that time, it was just very tough for everyone, I think. But yeah, I mean, it's just, at that time, I was very confused. It was like I was also lost. Like, oh my goodness, I'm not. Because it happens, a lot of things happen. Like, there was so much thing going on.
Yeah.
That time. Like, for me personally also. Like, I was not continuing my study, but I was still in
Was
Hillsong.
That, like, part of it? Like, what part of? No, or
well, nah. It was for other personal reasons, but it wasn't for that. That wasn't the reason why I stopped studying in Hillsong. But, yeah.
Dang, yeah, because, like I said, it's just, like, a crazy whole situation, like, all around. But, like, moving forward now, like, and kind of routing back to our, which that has to do with kind of salvation, like, what I want to get into. But, like, how can we as Christians, like, practically, or anybody listening to this that is kind of new to the, like, Christian faith, like, how do you think we can practically walk out our salvations, like, Christians? And what do you think that looks like?
Oh, wow. That's a very good, simple but powerful statement. I think I know it sounds very easy sometimes, but it's also at the same time very hard. But whatever you do in your daily life, just let people see Christ in you. Like, when they see you, like, when I see you, Alan, I see Christ in you. Like, let's just, whatever we do, whatever the things we are doing, even though people are seeing and people are not, just let everything we do it for Christ. And I know it sounds very cliche, but that's what I try to do every day, especially in the season. I want that when they see me, they see Christ instead of me. Don't let them see me, but let them see Christ instead. So, and how do we do that? How do I do that? It's a very practical, I think. Just live, care. Just actually, like, stewarding my friends. Just actually being intentional with people. And actually helping them, building them up, praying for them. And just, yeah.
Yeah, I think the other thing about that, too, is, like, I firmly believe that, you know, I think that, like, practically walking out salvation means, you know, like, walking out our relationship with Jesus. Mm. And, like, allowing him to change our hearts and to change our minds and to correct us. Because, you know, obviously, as a Christian, like, Jesus is our salvation, you know? And so, you know, without, like, Jesus, you know, there's no possible way for us to be saved. And so I think, you know, and, like, even Jesus, when he was with his disciples, him being the definition of what salvation is and what salvation looks like, I think even for his disciples, you know, Jesus was, like, you know, like, correcting his disciples, and, you know, like, he was discipling them, and, like, they were walking with him, and, you know, he was, like, we just got to see his humanity. Yeah. And so I think one of the practical ways that we can walk out our Christian faith is to, like, you know, get closer to Jesus and be in his word, and,
exactly,
like, and be in worship, but I guess, like, one of my other questions is, like, in this last season, even being here at Portland Bible College, like, how has your salvation, like, grown, and what has that, like, sort of looked like?
Yeah, definitely in this season, especially, like you said, I think my picture of salvation has never been more clear. I think, like I said earlier, we're also learning. I'm still learning every day. But so far, this has been a season where I think God just reveals himself so much. But then, with that so much, yet so simple, if it makes sense. Again, I think it's just, especially being here, it's just, I was very, reminded about how, you know, just sometimes we tend to forget to just do the, just back to the basics, just because we're so caught up sometimes in maybe just in, not the spotlights, but just in being in stage, just maybe just being in the, yeah, in spotlight sometimes. I'm just going to say, being in front of people, just like serving in front of people, that we forgot the basic stuff. Like we forgot to pray for another. Like we forgot to just lift our friends up. Sometimes we're just too very self-centered that we forgot that our salvation means we are also helping other people to reach to that goal too. That it is not only for us. That when we receive that gift, what are we doing with that gift? Are we also trying to spread His love to other people, or are we just going to keep it to ourselves? Are we only going to keep His love to ourselves, or are we spreading His love to other people?
Yeah, and I think the crazy thing is like our testimonies are like so similar in the aspect of like, because obviously I left for a year and then I came back. But the thing was like during that time that I was away, I did like a lot of like reflecting or soul searching, whatever people want to call it. But I did like a lot of I did like a lot of just reflecting. And just along the aspect of like, you know, there's obviously when I stepped away, there's other things that I wanted to do. And, you know, obviously the God is so faithful to, like, reroute us back. But the crazy thing is, like, when I was away, after I, like, got healing, like, in my heart from, like, just a lot of stuff that I'll go into, like, later on down the road. But when I got healing from a lot of that stuff, I was like, okay, now, you know. And I talked to a few friends here from PBC, and they had convinced me to come back. And then I came to visit in April. When I was here though, like God just radically did so much through me, like when I was here, and just reconciled like a whole bunch of relationships. But when I left like Portland, I decided to come back. I was like, I felt like I had so much unfinished business. Like I was like, which is so similar to like what you were saying with your testimony, right, exactly. Where it's crazy like how God does that. Cause I'm like, I felt like I had like this chapter. You know, because obviously I had community like back home and, you know, but I just felt there's a small part of me that was like, man, I need to finish what I started, you know. And so, and I don't know if you can relate to that, like wanting to go back to Hillsong, but I was like, man, I need to finish what I started. Like I started something and I want to see it through to almost completion. And so, yeah, so it's just crazy like how, like just hearing your testimony and how much our testimonies are so similar in that aspect of like, you know, us wanting to like see things through. Cause I was like, cause when, if you would have asked me like before I, like right before I left PBC the first time, if you would ask me like if I was gonna come, I was like, heck no, I'm not coming back. Like, no way, bro. Yeah, like I was like, no way, bro. Like, I packed up all my stuff and I was like so drained. I was like, I'm gone, bro. Like, I dipped out. Like, I said goodbye to like maybe a few people and I just left, bro. Like, I packed up all my stuff and I was gone. And like, you know, a semester being gone for a semester to like taking a whole year off and just rediscovering things like passions and finishing a book and, you know, just so much stuff. But yeah, like, but ultimately the end goal, like once I got healing and stuff, was to come back to PBC because I felt like I had a lot to finish. And it's crazy, and I don't know if it's this way for you, but a lot of people are like trying to like talk me out of it. Like talking me out of coming back to PBC because they're like, bro, like why are you trying to like go back? You know, like it almost like derailed all of your progress the last time you were there. Like, why, you know? So, but for me, it was like one of those things of like, I was like, I felt like I started something and I needed to finish it. So how was that for you? How was that whole process for you?
Yeah. Well, like you said, that feeling when you know there's something that you need to finish is just so, like, I think about it every day. Like, just, like, it will actually, like, annoy me. Like, oh, my goodness, like, can you give me a rest, brain? Like, I keep thinking about it, like, every day. Like, okay, when I'm going to go back to Hillsong, like, what I got to do now? Like, but then I think just because at that time, I wasn't ready to go back, that I know if I go back that I will not do good. And I think in a way, even though it was hard at that moment for me to not go back, I think it just, if I look back and I look back how, it's just the way how God just planned things out in advance. It just, wow, at that time, I was questioning him. Like, you, okay, God, I want to go back. Like, why is that, like, why are the doors being closed?
Yeah.
That was my statement to God. But then when I look back now, it just how he sets the pieces of the puzzles just like very neatly. And now I realize, oh wow, thank you God. Like, now I know why I didn't go back at Hillsong at that time. Just for other reasons. And if I were to go back to Hillsong at that time, I wouldn't be here in PBC. And I think my whole course of life will be so different if I go back to Hillsong. And I think coming here, I could say, even though people will say, I'm still in my honeymoon phase. Okay?
Maybe. Bro, let's just point out, there is such thing as honeymoon phase here at PBC. Like, it'll hit you, it'll hit all the freshmen eventually. Like,
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know I'm still in my honeymoon phase, like, I'm loving it. But I also believe that I am here for a reason. That God brings me here to Portland all the way from Indonesia for a solo reason. And I may not know the clear plan yet now, but I know that this is for my future. And yeah, I think just like coming back to that unfinished business question. Well, even though how I see it, even though I'm not continuing my study in Hillsong, and I'm continuing my study here, maybe the thing I receive from God is that, hey, you may plan to go to Hillsong, Hummel, but I plan to come here to Portland. And again, we may plan all the things we want. We may have all the agendas that we want, but God will have the final say. He will have the final say on all of this, all the things that we want. So maybe just being here, even though at first, I almost dipped out. I almost canceled. Like, I almost just threw away all of this, like, all of this plan coming here. But then I stick through it. Then, yeah, in this last 3 months, there's just been so many revelations that God has given me. And it's just so, I'm just so thankful. I'm very humbled to be here. I'm very humbled and I'm very honored. And it's just, all I can say is that, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, and it's crazy too, because I, like, even like while I was away, I was like, I would just see like little snippets and stuff like that of like what was happening on, like, at PBC. And I'm like, dang, bro, I just miss it. Like, I'm like, should I go back? Like, you know, just a bit start to be like, should I go back? You know, like, you know, I'm like, Lord, you know, like, what do you think, God? You know, and so was there ever a point, like, just seeing a lot of stuff that, like, you know, your friends and stuff were doing Hillsong, was there a point you're like, man, I miss this?
Bro,
like, I
have a big FOMO. I have a big FOMO. Like, so when I was back home and I see all my friends, you know, like, in Instagram stories and in Facebook, they're coming back from summer break, let's say, and they're in classes, and there's seeing this new students from Indonesia too, like, going to Hillsong. It kills me at that time. It was like, oh my goodness, I want to go back there. Like, I'm supposed to be there. But again, I think the lesson I was being taught by God is that at that time I was, my trust in him was in a very low level. Like, I was questioning everything that he does for me. And again, I was reminded my 23 years of my life till this day, and he never, ever leave me. And never been one decision that I made for him that resulted in something that is not beneficial to me. So I know by saying yes, or just by waiting for him to, for me to do something, I know it will hurt, that the process of just like not doing nothing at that time, or just like waiting for clarity, was very tough. Like, it was a very tough phase of my life. But then I remembered, again, just by waiting, I remembered one encounter I had in my devotion back then. I was just praying for clarity. I was on my room back home, and I was just, God, I have no idea what to say right now in my prayer, but all I can say, God, I just need some clarity, please. That's the only thing I said. And I mean, at that time, I didn't get the answer like straight away, but I got this overflowing peace, that knowing that I may not know what I'm gonna do at that time, but my plan is in good hands. So yeah, it was just the constant reassurance from God is very, it's just a beautiful thing to experience, you know, like just knowing that, that feeling when you know you're in good hands, that feeling when you know that he got your back, and just that, like I said, the reassurance from God is, oh man, it just puts you in a place of just like joy and like being content. It's just something that this world can never give.
Yeah, and I guess one more question I want to ask before we begin to like wrap up the episode. But so I guess my question is, like, obviously Hillsong is a massive college, like, that spans from like all over the country of Australia. Obviously coming from Hillsong to Portland Bible College, was there a point where you're like, dang, this is a heck of tiny compared to like what I'm normally used to? How was that experience like, and like what did you most gain from it?
Look, what I'm going to say, it may look like I'm glazing PBC, but again, truly coming here, now it's more clear to me that the term of quality over quantity,
wow,
has never been more true for me. Yes, maybe Hillsong have more in terms of facilities, in terms of students, in terms of resources. But I would say the community here, the people here, helped me so much in adapting to my life in BBC. I thought I was going to, like, I always say this to my friend, like, here. And I always say this to Josh. Shout out to Josh if you're hearing this, Joshua Killer. I said this
love
to him.
Love that guy. We just recently had him on an episode. It also, sort of plug, a new episode of that drops tonight at 5. Go listen. Josh Kaler and his amazing girlfriend are on it. And yeah, y'all are going to love it. But continue. Yeah,
to continue. Like I said to him, I thought it was going to take me longer, bro, to like adapt here in PBC. But like first month in, I felt like home right away. 2 months in, I felt like these are my boys. Like being in dorm 2 and dorm 3. I mean, they're all my boys. I love you all, basically. But yeah, it's just that.
Dude, it's so crazy how quickly you connect with people.
I know,
it's amazing,
bro.
I love it.
Because I wouldn't say I'm an extrovert. I would say I'm like in between of like introvert or extrovert, but it's just amazing how I think just you guys made it so easy for me. Like to just like blend in right away. It wasn't a hard job for me. So yeah. I think of course it's a big change. You know, like in terms of classes, in terms of just like how things are being run, but I could say the community here is more, I could say I feel more warmed here. Like no one is exclusive. Okay? Okay, there may be some friend groups, but again, I can blend with everyone. Like I feel more intimate here with everyone. Like I could actually maybe next semester I could know everyone. I mean, like I will remember everyone's names.
And you also know everyone's business.
Exactly.
We're joking. We're kidding.
Exactly. So yeah, bro. Truly, like being here, it just opened my like again. That's the only thing I'm gonna say. It just again, it's all about the quality. Like you can have a big. I'm again, being in Hillsong also a big part of my life. Like I was very lucky to be there, but again, like being there have its own purpose for me. And now being here in PBC, I think this place also have. Its own purpose for me personally, and just being here, like seeing you all guys, like just thriving in Christ, thriving in ministry, and thriving in college. It's just very, it's very warming, and bro, I'm very blessed, like to be here to see you all guys, like just living your life for Christ. It's very inspiring, bro.
Amen.
It's very inspiring.
And so I like to ask all my guests this question, like when they're on the pod, what's next for Hummel? Obviously, like, you know, you just started your freshman year here, like, you know, you just got here this semester, but what's next for you?
Whew. Surely that is still a question mark. That is still an unanswered question. Well, maybe I could say at first I was only doing 2 years here, but again, I might do 4, like how always everyone people every people say, if you're doing two, that means you're doing four.
Bro, that's so real.
But again, look, I gotta pray on it. Like, because if I do four, it will change my whole life. Like, all my plans, all my whatever it is, it gotta change. So that's the first thing. But yeah, maybe life after PBC, it's still a very far reach. Like, it's something that actually kept me up at night sometimes. Like, okay, God, I know I'm my life is in ministry. I know that for sure. But where, how, when, and what is still a big question mark. But I'm just fully trusting Him. I'm totally in a place of surrender, bro. Like, man, I do have a lot of vision. I don't have a lot of dreams for my youth back home, but I know that I will be back in Indonesia after PBC and doing stuff in for my youth. But after that, besides that, and there's still a lot of question marks, but again, it's for the Lord to decide, and whatever it is, I'm gonna say yes. But yeah.
Yeah, no, it's super crazy because literally, I think there's like very few people who are like, oh yeah, I'm only doing 4 years or 2 years, and they actually only like went through 2 years. Like, a lot of people, whenever I ask them, I'm like, oh, you know, are you only doing two or four? They're like, oh, I'm only going to do two. And they always end up doing 4 years. And I'm like, it's so funny to me because, like, literally people, like, actually don't. I mean, there's a few people that I know that have, like, are like, oh, I'm only doing two, and they only do 2 years. But a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, I'm only doing 2 years. And then you ask them again, and they're here for another 4 years. Mm. And so, but, yeah, no, I, like, because that was the way it was for me. Like, because I had already went through discipleship program, like, before. But it was, like, more of a program and less of, like, an actual, like, school, like, an actual college. And so, but my whole thing was like, I'm only probably going to do a year or 2 years. And then now I'm done next year, like, with my fourth year. And so
insane,
it's crazy,
bro,
how, like, the Lord, like, changes things, like, at the whip of a dime, bro. Like, it's just crazy. But, yeah, anyways, we are wrapping up this episode. I thank you so much, Hummel, for coming on.
Such a pleasure.
I'm so thrilled that you, like, asked to come on the pod. Yeah. I want more of that. I want more people, like, I want this to be a podcast that's, like, approachable, that people are like, yeah, like,
yeah,
I want
to
come on the
podcast.
People
need to hop on this podcast.
I've been asking people, but you're, like, one of the few people that has actually, like, asked come to me about coming on the pod. So yeah, I like, we need more people approaching me about the podcast.
I love it.
And so it was really funny because I was like talking to a friend, like I went and got coffee earlier, and I was like talking to a friend, and they were like, yeah, I'll only come on the pod. I decided I want to come on the podcast, but they're like, I want to have someone with me. And I was like, who do you want, name it. And so that's, like, what I want for the podcast, is I just want it to be a place that is, like, approachable, that people can also come to me as much as I, like, reach out to other people. But, yeah, so literally I'm excited just where the podcast is going, and also we're growing. It's so funny. Eddie is going to be our researcher, like, for the show. Like, he's going to be, like, the person that is, wow, like, researching all the stuff. So that's me and cool. Him are connecting over that, and so I'm excited. So the team is slowly growing. Like, yeah.
Let's
so
go.
It's a work in
podcast.
It's a work
it's
in progress.
Growing.
But
growing.
Yeah, so it's kind of, the brand is kind of growing. So I'm really excited about it. So that's the end of the episode. Thank you so much, Hummel, for
coming
on.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we'll have to get you back on the pod soon.
Yes, sir.
Like, maybe next semester. Like, after you've grown and stuff like that, and just seeing where you're at that time. But anyways, that's it for the Alan JP podcast. Thank you so much, guys, for listening, and we will be right back here next week.